The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Carlos Alcaraz up 2 breaks in the first set, up 5-2. Here's the thing about fading Rafa Nadal, though, Jeff. You can never get too excited until it's over. It doesn't matter what position you're in. Yes, it's a good start for us. But we're taking on the king here. We're fading the king. So we stay humble. Let's go, Carlos. Get it done. Take the torch. Take the torch from him. On the run-up to the French Open. Looking good so far, though, this morning, as we bet tennis during the show. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Sam Ginsburg. Hey, Gil, it's Sam Ginsburg in Pittsburgh. Way back in, I think, 1983, I had Kansas City in over 8.5 when George Brett hit the Pine Tar homer. The final was 4-3. I lose both plays. A few months later, they overturned the call and finished the game, Kansas City 5-4. Oh, man. Let me guess, you didn't get your tickets cashed 2 months later. Mike Alvarez, I was on Northwestern versus Ohio State in that game where they were doing the lateral thing at the end of the game that made the Ohio State cover possible. Brent on the call, and it's on the intro to SVP's Bad Beat segment. That one is right up there with the Belk Bowl. Jeff Kuykendall, I didn't think we were going to do Bad Beats, but after the Mets-Phillies thing yesterday, in the first segment, in case you missed it, I talked about my two worst baseball beats of all time. You remember where you were when these things happen. And for me, again, it was the Mariners and the Red Sox. August 1st, 2013, had the Mariners up 5 runs heading into the fifth. Robbie Thompson, interim manager, tapping the wrong forearm, getting the wrong pitcher in an unfavorable matchup. And then May 28th, 2016, I was on the White Sox against the Royals, up 7-1, Royals with a 7-run ninth. Jeff Kuykendall, a couple of days ago, I had San Francisco versus L.A., plus money for $350, went to bed with San Francisco up 1-0. Woke up and checked the score without my glasses and saw San Francisco winning 1-0. Later, with glasses, I went back to check another score and saw it was 9-1 L.A. Well, that just sounds like a vision problem more than a bad beat. that's a different kind of story. By the way, Mike Alvarez brings up the Belk Bowl, which is largely considered one of the worst college football beats of all time for people. That was the Duke game. I still contend my worst college football bowl beat of all time, and I think this kills the Belk Bowl, was the 2014 Bahamas Bowl, which I'll never, I will stand that up against anybody. I had Western Kentucky, I think it was -2.5, the Hilltoppers -2.5 against Central Michigan. Directional school bowl game, Bahamas Bowl. You remember where you were. I was in San Francisco. There's nobody in the stands at the Bahamas. You question your life. You're like, I'm betting a bowl game between directional schools in the middle of the day. And they were up. Western Kentucky was up. I'm not making this up. 49-14. I'm giving 2.5. 49-14 heading into the fourth quarter. You guessed it. Central Michigan scores 28 unanswered, right? 28 unanswered. So it's still, what is it? Still 40.
Still covering.
Still 49 to. I mean, it's still 49-41 at this point. So wait, what was the score? No, let me get that right. It was 45-14, yeah. 45-14. They scored 24 unanswered. Make that 27 unanswered. So it's It's 49-41, and there's 1 second left in the game. 49-42. And they, with 1 second left in the game, they throw a pass, and it's, I think the kickoff, I can't remember, with 1 second left in the game, they basically run a play that involves lateral, whatever it was, and they end up scoring. And you're like, I cannot believe this is happening. It's 49-48. Well, okay, at least they'll kick the extra point. I'll still have a chance to win this in overtime. No, then they go for two. And I lose -2.5, up 49-14 at the beginning of the fourth
quarter. I remember that one. That was Cowboys legend Cooper Rush was the quarterback for Central Michigan.
Don't remind me. It's just horrible. You'll never forget where you were for those. Ladies and gentlemen, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, it's Jason Weingart. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Going very well. The reason this comes up, of course, is because of the Mets-Phillies game last night. Phillies up 7-1 heading into the ninth. 99.8% win probability. There's the old graph at FanGraphs. There's the win probability chart. So when Bryce Harper grounds out at the end of the eighth, there's the 99.8% win probability. And I was just making the point earlier, Jason, not only do you remember where you were when these things happened against you, but if you bet enough baseball, it's kind of the price of doing business that every few years this is going to happen to you.
Yeah, I've definitely had my share of these. It's unfortunate. Last night I managed to sleep through this game, though. I was taking
well
a nap when it happened.
Well done. Let me go to the Reds, which is another thing we brought up earlier. The Reds are now 3-22. 3-22. By the way, Alcaraz wins the first set, everybody. 6-2. Don't get too excited. We're fading Rafa. So they're 3-22, and they get four games this weekend against the Pirates. The Reds do. They're a slight dog today. They'll be a favorite. By the way, not even a negligible favorite. They'll be about a -165 favorite tomorrow. That's the first four games of 19 still to be played against the Pirates. They do have seven more to play against the Nationals. They got 19 more against the Cubs in case anybody thinks the Cubs are going to stink. So there's plenty of games against plenty of bad teams. Will Hill, 2 days ago, the Reds adjusted season win total was 65.5. Yesterday it was all the way down to 58.5. Now it's 57.5. And so I ask you, like, what do you do with that? Is it still too many games?
No, I wouldn't run out and bet under 57.5. You're kind of running out of wiggle room at that point. If it gets lower, if it gets, you know, 3-4 games lower, I might come and bet the over, actually. You know, at a certain point, it's going to get low enough that the value is going to be on the over, and that would be, for me, in the low 50s. Even, you know, I don't think it's going to get to 49 or anything, but I would absolutely bet it at 49.5 or something.
Go over on that number.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Again, on pace currently to win 19 or 20 baseball games. Just want to point that out. It's that comical at this point. The other thing, of course, that happened yesterday, and we didn't get to this yet in baseball, is something that brings joy to your heart and mine. Shohei Ohtani yesterday. And there's so many ways to talk about this, but I'll just go with this. Yesterday, the Angels win 8-0. They beat the Red Sox. Shohei was on the hill. He, of course, took his rightful place in the batting order. He was 2-of-4 yesterday at the plate. But on the hill, 7 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts, no walks, no earned runs. He gave up, what was it, how many hits did he give up in the end? I can't remember. Five, I believe.
Six
or seven hits. But 99 pitches, Jason, 99 pitches, 81 strikes. That is a career best percentage and one of the great performances in terms of strike percentage of pitches in modern baseball history, and 29 of those were whiffs, which is a career high, which is the most induced by any pitcher this year. It's arguably, according to some on the Twitter machine yesterday, they said arguably the best game he's ever pitched in the majors. That was from Jeff Fletcher. And I guess my question to you is what I asked Paul Spora last night, which is if he does this a couple more times, like has a game like this, similar, even a couple more times, is he almost, I mean, I don't want to say he's a lock to win the Cy Young, but assuming all the other games are good-ish, it's kind of his to lose and maybe MVP too, right?
Yeah, so to break those down, the MVP and the Cy slightly separately. First off, for MVP, I'll just tell you, he was 4-1 before the season. I had to shop around to get 4-1. I asked Circa if they'd give me 4-1 for a, you know, pretty big bet. They said no, they wouldn't. And, you know, I respect that. It means they didn't want to book him at that number. But here we are coming off Ohtani's best pitching performance of possibly his entire major league career. And the Westgate currently has him at 5-1. So I would love somebody to explain to me how Ohtani is currently 5-1 to win the MVP after barely being able to get down a very large bet on 4-1 before the season. So, and I say that because I'm pretty much maxed out on Ohtani at the moment, so I can't bet more on 5-1 or I would. I just think it's crazy. But what I thought was crazier, and I've been talking about this for the last couple weeks, is that his Cy Young odds were as high as 20-1, 15-1, 16-1. Now they've gone down slightly. I think he's down to 6 at the Westgate. But in what world is his Cy Young number
right,
3-4 times his MVP number when he's putting up incredible pitching lines this season? Like, no one's paying attention to this stuff. In no world would his Cy number be 3-4 times his MVP number. And it's starting to adjust, but you've just seen these early overreaction moves. It almost makes me think that most of these people booking these futures have no clue what they're doing. You know, so that's my opinion on Ohtani. I absolutely think he's the front runner for MVP. He's one of the front runners for AL Cy Young. The AL Cy field is very, very stacked right now. So you got to keep in mind there are several serious contenders there.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor the point on this, but I will for 30 more seconds, because I asked this of Spore last night on Primetime too, which is this notion that, oh, we saw it last year already, should not pollute anybody's thoughts on any of this, right? Like, specifically talking about MVP. Like, if he continues to be Ruthian, then it's his all the time, right? Like, you can't, again, the what was the thing where you were saying? It was like, tell me the last time Vladimir Guerrero had 81 strikes and 99 pitches. When was that again? You know, like.
Exactly. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not a been there, done that thing. This is something, it's like, what was your Ottoman Empire reference you said? It hasn't happened since the Ottoman Empire existed, you said. It's incredible, man. We'll come back. Jason's baseball picks of the day and more right here on The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. Right now, VSiN's offering you a special $9.99 Kentucky Derby betting guide with previews of all the horses and jockeys for every race, plus best bets for the entire weekend, including the Run for the Roses. Pre-order your copy now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/derbyguide. That's VSiN.com/derbyguide. Gil Alexander, Jason Weingarten is with us from Under a Cloud of Smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He's also, of course, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. Do you have any Kentucky Derby plays for us? Jason, what are you betting tomorrow?
I don't have much of an opinion on the horses anymore. I stopped. My last Derby future was Maximum Security or whatever. Yes. Maximum whatever that was.
Yep. And
after that, I just decided, why am I wasting my time? This is clearly rigged, and it's just, I have better things to do with my time than lose money horse racing.
Felica's head is exploding right now listening to this. That's absolutely right. That was the one that scarred many people, for sure. Jeff said something off air. Jeff, let me ring you in for this. You were saying you think the one big contender for MVP versus Shohei is who?
Aaron Judge.
And explain why.
Because the pace that the Yankees are on, and I know it's stupid to do all the pace after 25 games because it's such a small sample size, but what happens if Judge he's already having a really good start to the season. What happens if he continues this and the Yankees win 100 games? We know we're dealing with humans voting on this, Gil.
We are humans.
So,
and all their flaws.
He's the one guy, if you're looking at it more so than Vlad, I know Vlad's the second short shot. Trout's not winning the. If they're giving it to an Angel, they're giving it to Ohtani again.
Yeah.
Judge would be the one guy that would be like, if the Yankees win over 100 games, Judge hits 45 homers, hits over 300 like he is right now. I think he's hitting 295 actually, but gets over 300 OPS, over 850. I have a shot.
I don't hate that thinking. Jason, what do you think?
I think you're partially correct. I think Jose Ramirez is putting up pretty great numbers. I think Mike Trout and his 279 WRC plus, I could actually see a situation where the Angels make the playoffs and Trout wins the MVP and Ohtani wins the Cy Young, but I'm not 100% sold on that. I think Judge has definitely put himself in the conversation, but I don't see him, you know, if we're just going off, you know, going back to what Paul Sporer said yesterday, it's just, what are we even discussing? There's no contenders in, you know, compared to Ohtani, but I understand.
Yeah. I mean,
like I get the argument.
I agree with Sporer on that, but I do think it does bring up the point, right? Cause again, humans, right? So if somebody else, since Ohtani has over, just follow me here in this. I'm not saying it's logical, but I'm just going to give you just sort of my sense of what certain humans can do. Because Ohtani won it last year, MVP, the fact that he won it, if this year, if there is some kind of viable contender for MVP, that some voters in their heads will be like, well, he's going to get the Cy Young anyway. So let me just vote for somebody else now for MVP. You think there could be
somewhere? I don't see that. And I don't, I mean, we have the evidence already to tell us that's probably not correct in the fact that Shohei Ohtani was the unanimous MVP last season.
Okay.
So
I like it.
Unless we're going to see a drastic change in voter behavior year over year, which I don't expect, that this is one of the things that I was selling people when we were making the bet, you know, before the season. I was saying the evidence is already in front of us. He was unanimous last year. It's not what's going to change year over year. And nobody really has a good rebuttal to that.
Music to my ears. All right. I'm glad you shot that down. What do you like today in baseball? What do you got?
Well, I got one bet today. Can I sell you on the Reds, Gil?
Oh, let's go. What do you got?
Reds money line. Let's do it. I mean, everyone's got to win sometime.
They got to win sometime. Why not today against the Pirates? Plus 122
against the Pirates. Have you seen the Pirates play?
I have seen them play, and it is it's an abomination, is what it is.
Yes, this is the kind of game Pirates Reds should not be televised. It, you know, maybe you should just get updates, you know, from the radio. You know, hey, the Reds scored a run, whatever. But don't pay attention to this game. Just bet the Reds and check the score around 5:30, 6 o'clock.
What would it require? What would I have to say to you? Like, Jason, I want you to watch every pitch of this game. What would I have to give you to get you to agree to do that?
Money? You'd have
How
to pay
much
me.
Money I mean, would I have to give you?
I don't know. I'd bill whatever a regular consultant bills the Pirates and the Reds for baseball stuff. I'd want the same, you know, if you want me to watch your terrible baseball, I need to get compensated for it, because this is, you know, this is unacceptable. What they're, the product that's being put out is unacceptable.
Let me since we talked about the Reds adjusted, by the way, I like that play today. I may join you on the Reds, to be quite honest with you. Since we talked about the Reds adjusted season win total at 57.5, William Hill has this up round the clock every day. The adjusted regular season win totals. Again, this is something I did in football, was sort of in the back rooms for many years. It was this off the grid thing I was talking about for years that I did. And then obviously now everybody does adjusted season win totals in football on a week to week basis. Not everybody, but some books do, like DraftKings. William Hill does it with baseball every day. So let's go to the other end. And I just want to get your thoughts. Again, this is me just throwing them out to you. I understand you haven't done any like super analysis on this, but the Yankees adjusted season win total is 96.5. What do you think about that? The Yankees, of course, right now, the Yankees 18-7, the best record in all of baseball.
Yeah, I'd probably go over. I think we're going to see a couple hundred win teams this year. The way it's sort of shaking out, or the way I see it, and again, we're only through about 25 games, so it's early, but the way I see it is you I totally lost my train of thought there about the way I see it. I apologize.
It's all right.
Yeah, give me a second, Gil. I got to think about what I was going to say. I totally lost
that's okay.
Train of thought
I'll give you just
a Sorry. Yeah. Let me come back to that. I'll tell you, the way it's sort of shaping up is the bad teams are really bad. We're kind of seeing a barbell thing where we're not going to see a lot of teams in the middle. We're going to see, you know, the Reds, the teams like that all the way at the bottom, and we're going to see a lot of 100-win teams at the top, but it's not going to see a lot sort of in the middle range this year.
Yeah, I believe I've called it the last few years the ever-widening chasm between the haves and the have-nots. And it just keeps getting...
Sorry about that. That's totally all right. Lost my train of thought.
No, it happens. Trust me. I'm here every day. It happens at least one, two times a segment, I think. The Dodgers' adjusted season win total is 101.
Dodgers got rain delayed today. So after today, they play 31 games in the next 30 days, which I'm kind of interested in. I think that's a pretty you know, nice test early to see how the Dodgers are really going to perform. I made an MVP bet actually.
Oh, what you got?
Dodgers this week.
What you got?
Mookie Betts drifted out 25-1, 30-1 at the Superbook. How do you get 30-1? That's the same number as Jazz Chisholm. You know, one of those guys is a real MVP candidate. One of them isn't. Mookie Betts' last 2 weeks, his numbers are as good as anybody in baseball, anybody in the National League. Although I will say Manny Machado and Nolan Arenado are very much in pole position in this race right now, especially Manny Machado, who's, you know, really outperforming even my expectations. And I had him MVP before the season.
God, I sure wish I checked the Westgate app, but I don't. But 25-1. Mookie Betts should never be 25-1 ever at any time. No, not this early. That's right. Dodgers 101. I mean, you know, while our focus is on this Yankees streak that they just had and how bad the Reds are, the Yankees quietly just doing their thing. I mean, so the Dodgers just quietly doing their thing. 16-7. Half game lead over the Padres, 2-game lead over the Rockies, 3-game lead over the Giants, but 16-7, just doing, you know, just minding their own business.
It's the same thing with the under on the Reds. You get so little wiggle room at 101. Mm-hmm. So
we have the evidence. You know, when Clayton Kershaw was pitching a perfect game through 7, we have the evidence of Davey Roberts actively managing against possible history, right? Like the history didn't matter to him. And he says, we're just managing to win games. At least that was what was rattling around in his head. So one would imagine that even if the Dodgers started flirting with some, hey, the Dodgers are on pace to win, you know, 115 games, whatever, I'm just throwing something out, this could be historical, that won't matter to Davey Roberts or whoever is puppeteering Davey Roberts from the front office, right? So, like, I think you're right. I think that's, they don't care about monster win totals themselves. They wouldn't if they even flirted with one.
What is the Mets in season win total? Do you have that?
I do. The Mets season win total is doop 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 doop. They have them all up.
Good on
Will Hill, man. They have all of these up. 93.5.
I think that's probably short. They're you know, using on pace numbers. I don't like to use on pace numbers, but they are also on pace for 110 wins or something. And again, they don't even have DeGrom back yet.
Don't even have their best player. 93.5. Jason, I'm doing it. I'm on the Reds. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Cincinnati Reds plus 122. Sold. Jason Weingarten, the great Jason Weingarten. Weingarten, rather, at the podcast name, The Wide World of Weingarten. Check it out wherever podcasts are distributed. And, of course, the Twitter handle, at Spreadopedia. Thank you, Jason. Coming back with Vinny Maliulo, the Hall of Famer, next. The VEASAN Spring Special is here. For only $59, you get everything VEASAN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VEASAN.com. And subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel will have best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil will break down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage when that time comes. Not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, NASCAR, and the Kentucky Derby betting guide. If you want the full VEASAN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of every edition rather, of Point Spread Weekly. Use of our betting tools and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is only $59 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/spring. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Pat PT's best takes. He said he checked the score prior to a flight, feeling good about Western Kentucky in the Bahamas Bowl, and got to his destination to see the score, the beginning of my betting days, and it humbled me. Oh, Pat, don't I know it. Johnny Ringo, Canelo fights an afterthought when we have Gil and Vinny squaring off on a Friday morning. Boxing glove emoji. This is James Lloyd. A few years ago, had the Cowboys catching 3.5 against the Saints. Saints miss field goal attempt to win in an OT second play. Breeze throws wheel route for an 80-yard touchdown. Oh, James. That'll happen. That's going to happen. Everybody just throwing these down. Neil Galbraith, I had Tampa Bay Rays to win in play against the Red Sox, down 6-0 in the eighth for a miraculous comeback by the Rays that included a Longo bomb, Ben Zobrist in the park, and a triple play. Oh, inside the parker, rather, in a triple play. Rays make playoffs 100-1, I believe the odd was. Insane comeback. Oh, yeah, sometimes they're on good side. Anyway, there's tons of these. We'll read some more later. Kev William, Phil Weiss, Kamish, everybody's got one. Kamish, I believe the Bahamas Bowl was on Christmas Eve. Left from my sister's house, up 48-14. Didn't see the end. Thankfully, it was not a Christmas miracle. I think it was Christmas Eve day. Yes. Yes, Jeffrey.
From Shams Charania, 76ers All-Star Joel Embiid has cleared concussion protocols.
Oh, he's in.
So not officially. So he's still dealing with the orbital fracture. He's still dealing with the torn ligament. Embiid is doing everything possible to play tonight versus the Heat, but that is a big step forward, obviously. That's what needed to happen first, clearing the concussion protocol. He has cleared that.
So a lot of people who have Sixers conviction going to grab the Sixers and the points right now. Get to it quick before that moves back. Heat were 3-point favorites prior to that news. We'll see now if Embiid's status. Yes.
Another update. They see this is a quick-moving thing here, Gil. 76ers, this is from Tim Bomtent. Embiid is cleared, concussion protocol, participate in shoot-around. As of now, he remains out, as of now.
Okay.
The status could change, though, between now and tonight's game. But as of this moment, even though he has cleared concussion protocol, he's still being listed as out. So
there you go.
Check back in about an hour before the game starts.
That's right. We have no idea right now what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, here with the Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliulo. Slow jamming with Vinny. Isn't that how Joe Buck always introduces Troy Aikman? Here with the Hall of Famer, Troy Aikman. That's how I introduce you every time. Here with the Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliulo. Shout out.
Thank you, Gil. Thank you.
Shout out Joe Pita, who says, I can't wait till you say that every time. Vinny, you are, from the last time we spoke,
yes, sir.
You have gone from common man to Hall of Famer. Wow, how does it feel?
Well, it feels, first of all, it feels, it's humbling. I'm grateful, Gil. It's a nice
inducted into the nice, sports betting Hall of Fame for those who don't know, along with Chrissy Andrews.
Look, I think it's nice to be recognized, you know, for your body of work. So
yes, it feels good, right?
I mean, well, listen, I'm certainly not against it.
You're not objecting.
It's very humbling. Honestly, you know, when you think about your time in the industry and what I set out to do when I got into the industry, which was to, certainly be mindful of the folks that gave me an opportunity, the folks that were more mentors and that I wanted to make a contribution to the industry. Says that people are appreciative of that. So I'm thankful for it.
Is this the fourth year, I believe, of it, if I'm not mistaken?
I think so, Gil. Yeah. And the SBC, which...
just want you to know, like, the baseball equivalent of that class, the fourth ever baseball class in the Hall of Fame, George Sisler, Old Hoss Radburn, Wee Willie Keeler, Lou Gehrig. That's the kind of company you keep right there, well, from a sports betting standpoint.
Those are great names and great players, so... No, it's...
You're Wee Willie Keeler is what I think I'm saying right here.
Wee Willie. Yeah. Wee Vinny. Yeah.
Or Old Hoss Radburn, old-timers.
Great names, huh?
Oh, these were... What a great... Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig, Iron
come
Horse.
Come on.
No, it's... Listen, and I congratulate my fellow honorees in the Hall and those that have gone before me. So.
Yeah, listen. I know we get into it all the time, but I try to say as often as possible. I go, we are so, and I'll say it to you here again. We are so fortunate, those of us, the mere mortals, who get to be around you and Chrissy and Jimmy and Roxy and all you guys. And listen, none of us are getting any younger, and we'll never recapture this moment in time, right? So it's like the great generation of guys on your side of the counter, you know, these days should be cherished while everyone's still here.
Again, Gil, that's very kind. Listen, you know, I think that I still enjoy doing it as well as my. I mean, this is something that we really appreciate the opportunity to do, and I think there are some. You know, the next generation that's coming up, there's some tremendous talent out there that hopefully, you know, not only, you know, they take to heart what some of the things that we say and do, but also I learn from them as well. I mean, I think the thing that certainly has served me well, and I think when you hear Chrissy and Jimmy speak, they'll talk about the fact that paying attention to what is going on today is helpful, being open-minded to it and things like that. So, look, I have a great appreciation for the industry, and I'm excited about the fact that it continues to expand. I think it's great. I mean, if you look in the United States, over 30 jurisdictions, including the District of Columbia. So,
boy, they get it wrong.
Well, there's time, right?
Yes. There's time. Yeah, there's always time, Vinny.
You know,
they'll figure it
so
out.
So let's. But there's hope. I mean, listen. You know, yeah. Gil. A couple of years ago, we were when we first came on the air on VSiN, right? We're still just Nevada as the only American jurisdiction. Now, of course, it's expanded to Canada as well, and there's been an industry in Mexico for quite some time in the Caribbean.
February of 2017, VSiN started.
That's right.
Well, we had a Super Bowl before that, but really in earnest at the end of February 2017. A couple little updates here. Yes, of course, Rafa Nadal broke Alcaraz in the second set, so we could be headed to a third and final set on our bet. Andy McNeil does have a hockey note and a hockey bet that he wanted to share with everybody. Not on a game tonight, but he had this to share in case you want to get a Conn Smythe bet in. Anybody want a Conn Smythe bet in? Cale Makar, he says, out there around 13-1. And is thinking if the Avs win the Cup, he'll be among the team leaders in points, and he could see him finishing with more points than any defenseman has since the 80s. He said Miro Heiskanen had 26 points back in 2020, and that's fourth among defenders all-time for points scored in a single playoff season. If Makar plays 20-plus games in a run to the Cup, which is a reasonable expectation, he should beat that mark. So 13-1, Makar, Conn Smythe. You raising a bet that one? Jeffrey, yes? No?
Wonder where we can bet that here in Nevada.
I know. I was looking. Vinny, any help? No, nothing.
Conn Smythe now? Yeah, why not? Listen, I take 13-1 on Makar, I can tell you that.
The other thing that we know about you, besides your work from behind the counter, is that you still love betting horses, yes?
Yes, Gil. Dude, it's Derby weekend, Gil.
This just in, a special numbers game investigation reveals it's a Derby tomorrow, a run for the roses. We're going to run you into a wall here, so I want to get most of this after the break.
Okay.
But generally speaking, let me just ask you one question.
Yep.
I haven't asked this of anybody, and I always ask this of my Derby guests. If I came to you from the future, from beyond the Belmont, and I said to you, hey, Vinny, a horse won the Triple Crown. What horse would that be?
I think you have to consider, and it's a bit chalky, Epicenter.
Really?
Yeah. And even though
you and Chrissy both love Epicenter.
Well, here's why. And Chrissy and I were actually talking about, and you know, Chrissy and I talk horses all the time. By the way, today's the Oaks as well for the ladies.
Do you have an Oaks play?
I do. I think I kind of like Kathleen O. Kathleen O, a little bit chalky as well, but out of the 10 hole, Javier Castellano. I'm just going to sound true. I like Castellano today and tomorrow.
Was it Kathleen O, you said?
Kathleen O.
For the Oaks
like,
today.
Out of the 10 hole, Shug McGahee trained, and Javier Castellano. Today for the Oaks, for the ladies.
All right.
Let's talk about the Derby a little bit.
Hold your thoughts on Epicenter and how you're going to be betting the Kentucky Derby, first of the Triple Crown races, of course, tomorrow from Churchill Downs. More with the Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliula, right here on a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets and risk-free tokens planning a trip to Vegas. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action. With BetMGM Rewards, eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Was updating the score. We're obviously doing a show here, so we're multitasking, and we're trying to follow our Carlos Alcaraz bet. And I see that the score has stopped, and we're getting the word that Alcaraz hurt his ankle earlier in the second set, and that is why his performance has dropped. And I guess we're in a medical timeout at this point. So This would be a sucky way to lose this, if you know what I mean, after Alcaraz took the first set. What did I say earlier, though? You never get too excited when you're fading the king, Rafa Nadal. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Now, I didn't intend by the first segment for this to be overrun by bad beat stories, so I'm not going to read everybody's bad beat, but I will read a few other tweets here. Joe C714, 100% agree on the Ohtani statements earlier. What humans forget is how good Mike Trout is every year. He's not hurt. He should have won MVP at least five times already, but people get too used to greatness, just like Ohtani. Five times, wow. Primetime, I agree with Jason Weingarten. The Reds-Pirates game should not be broadcast on TV radio. In fact, anyone wanting a score update should be forced to call a score phone and listen to Jack Price advertisements riffing on what Crack and I were talking about yesterday. Steve, by the way, great response to that as well. That whole walk down memory lane in the 976 numbers yesterday and the pagers. Steve in Vegas, Mookie 25-1 for MVP at BetMGM. You were saying that too, Jeff, off air. So you can still get him there, 25-1. Talk about what Jason was talking about. Matthew Mayberry, ask Vinny if he ever used performance-enhancing drugs on his way to the Hall of Fame.
Never.
So you say.
Performance-enhancing Chianti, but.
So you say. Yeah, Larry L. Alcaraz hurt his ankle early second set. Hasn't looked good since. Conn Smythe up at William Hill, 14-1 on Makar as well. Okay. Everybody chiming in on that. Oh, they're back to playing. And Nadal has Alcaraz on the ropes in the second set. All right, Vinny. So let's follow up on a couple things.
Yeah.
One, let me get the Mattress Mack thing out of the way.
Okay.
So, Kentucky Derby, monster amount of money in the parimutuel pool.
Over $155 million on the race last year, all told.
So, if he bets $2 million on a horse tomorrow, that's not going to do much, is it?
I think, you know, there'll be an initial hit. It depends on when he bets it, too, right? Yeah. I mean, if it's right at post time, obviously, it'll still, you know, the total keep calculating. But, you know, Gil, when you've got that much liquidity in the pool, and remember that the Breeders, the Kentucky Derby is the number one bet race, you know, in the country. So would that listen, that's a tremendous bet. There's no question about it. And you got to give them credit for making a play like that, you know, putting this money up. But with that much liquidity in the pool, you know, typically, you know, you would think, well, does that take it down significantly? Does it create a minus pool or something? You know, it doesn't do that. Not with the Derby. So, he's indicated he's going to make a play, and that, you know, I'm not sure who he's going to bet. But the other thing is, don't forget, it could help if it's not one of the shorter, like I mentioned, right? Epicenter at 7-2. If he doesn't bet Epicenter, then at only helps the only the, helps the price right. of some of the chalkier horses.
Yeah, I was just trying to get a sense of how dramatic it'll be.
Yeah.
Why? Okay, so explain why you love Epicenter
so much.
By the way, I
correct myself. I mentioned for today for the Oaks, Kathleen O with Javier Castellano, not on Epicenter tomorrow. Joel Rosario is on Epicenter. Why I like one of the reasons I like Epicenter, Gil, is or a couple of reasons. First of all, terrific horse. He's had a good 2-year-old campaign. He's adaptable. So if the track comes up a little bit off, now it's supposed to be rain today and tomorrow at Churchill Downs. Now they do a terrific job of sealing the track, right? To have, you know, the water kind of run off. It depends on how much rain and when the rain is, when the rain comes, obviously. But he's an adaptable horse. He can go to the front if he needs to, and he probably has to in this race because he's in the 3-hole. Where you get that, you know, that great traffic jam at, as they get out of the gate and get to the first turn, unlike any other race, you know, with 20 horses in it. So the other thing that I really like about the horse, and I learned this years ago from some pretty good handicappers, these are all, quote-unquote, 3-year-olds, but they're not all the same age.
Right.
They're not all born in the same month. Epicenter was foaled in January. Epicenter has about a 3-month jump, if you will, on some of these other horses. And as a 3-year-old, that is significant, stronger. They're still obviously developing. I don't think it's quite as much a factor when they get to be 4 or older, but as 3-year-olds, it's I do pay attention to
Epicenter was the answer to the question when I asked Chris Felica earlier this week, what's the horse you're going to fade that others like? His answer was Epicenter. So you guys are
opposite.
Oppo on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What you're obviously not just betting Epicenter to win, though. And that was the answer Vinny came up with when I said, I come to you from the future. Who won the Triple Crown? And you said it would be Epicenter. How else are – what other horses are you including in your bets
here? Epicenter, I think Messier at 8-1 in the 6-hole – formerly trained by Mr. Baffert. You know, Baffert's got a couple of...
Yeah.
Technically, he's got a couple of horses.
Because that's the other thing I've been asking people, Vinny, is how dumb are any of us going to feel if we don't bet the 2 Baffert horses and one of the 2 Baffert horses? We're talking about Messier and Taiba, right?
Taiba, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If one of those horses win... And Peter Fornatale had a great line yesterday. He goes, boy, that's a conversation I don't want to have afterwards, which is, of course, the Baffert horse won.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
So they're a factor, right?
Yeah.
So when you're crafting your exotics, certainly those two. I think another horse, again, a little bit chalky, Zandon probably you want to include. And then, you know, again, you want to – kind of look at some things, Gil, where, again, pay attention to the weather. You know, if it comes up off, you know, in terms of the track conditions, Epicenter and Zandon have both won in on off tracks, you know. So, you can't bet every horse, right?
Right.
You know, you start eliminating horses, and I think some of the horses on the outside – you start probably eliminating some of those.
If Mo Donegal wasn't on the rail, would that be a play?
Yeah, I could. I mean, I could see where folks could make a case for Mo Donegal. But again, the rail, and you say, well, Vin, you know, is there much difference between the rail and the 3-hole? Not a whole lot, except I look at what, you know, the running styles of the horses too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, the connections and how, you know, the trainer and the jockey, you know, will come to formulate a plan. But, Mo Donegal, that's a horse that I'm not going to use. But
yeah.
Nothing would shock
me. Like you said,
you
can't bet every horse.
You can't.
These are the ones that have come up all week, right? In some varying form. Messier,
yeah.
Taiba,
mm-hmm.
and...
Zandon, you've probably
heard
about,
a lot of
right?
Zandon. Yeah. We got a lot of Zandon, of course, a short shot.
How about White Abario?
No. Well, yeah, somebody brought up White Abario.
10-1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But because no Cyberknife. No one's saying Cyberknife anymore.
Hmm.
That was like a 2 months ago. That was sort of the hey, get cyberknife before everybody else does.
I think so. Yeah, and again, there's I think it depends too on what folks have in terms any futures they may have. You know, I mean there was a Derby Churchill Downs had future pools out. There were some future pools around the country. By the way, again, the impasse that existed in Nevada last year and the year before has been resolved. So
yeah.
Business back to usual here in Nevada, and hopefully we'll exceed, we'll be at least 7 million or more.
Which you love from your side of the counter.
Well, it's just, listen, you don't want to be booking.
No.
Right? Because you want also to offer people the full betting menu. Right. Pick sixes and
I'm
things.
Just going to say the only certainty, Vinny, is that whatever horse I end up betting will not win the Kentucky. I promise you that. I do a service for everybody and tweet it out tomorrow. Gil. Do not bet this horse because I am.
Gil.
It's my history in horse
well,
racing.
Well, let's see if we can't break that streak for you, buddy.
I'm American Pharaoh and 537 is my all-time record. It's the only one I ever got
right. That's a pretty good winner right there.
Yeah, no, that was a good one.
Speaking of triple crowns.
Did bet him to win the triple crown that
good
year.
Good for you.
Nadal and Alcaraz going to set number 3. We'll see what Alcaraz's story is with the ankle, if he can continue on. That certainly seems like it's... in the balance, Joel Embiid, through concussion protocol, still ruled out. So we don't know his status either. Thank you, Vinny. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everybody. Lombardi Line next to VSiN, the sports bet.